It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." You know, I also receive joy each time that I'm able to share the Word of God. And I want to thank you for joining me today as we look into the Word of God. Well, let me remind you that we've been studying through a series called A Bird's Eye View. And this, of course, we're looking at the New Testament books. And my goal is not to go into these books in depth, and that's for another time. My goal is to help us to see the New Testament with a bird's eye view, in other words, an overview, helping us think our way through the New Testament. Last time we looked at the study of John. Now, there are a couple of things I'd like to add to that study today that I did not mention. Maybe I did mention it in passing, but a couple of things that we need to understand about the book of John is, first of all, that the book tells us that Jesus is alive. Now, remember, we talked about Thomas, the old doubter. He said, "I'll not believe." And in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them," now this is Thomas speaking, "except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And then in verse 28 of John chapter 20, it says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Doubting Thomas was a believer because he had seen the Lord. And we understand also that comparing Scripture with Scripture that Jesus told him, that's Thomas, "You're blessed because you've seen." Well, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe, Jesus tells Thomas. And that's us. That's the people who have trusted on Jesus Christ without physically seeing him, but studying and reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and believing in faith that Jesus is who he says he is. We need to learn this from the book of John. And we need to learn discipleship. Continue to follow Jesus for who he is, according to John chapter 6. And we need to abide in Jesus' word. Remember, a disciple is a learner. We must study the word of God in order to grow spiritually. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible says. And not only do we get saved by hearing and reading the word of God and believing it, but we also grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ by getting into his word. Well, we also see in John chapter 13 that we're to love one another as Jesus loved us. And there are so many things that we could study in this, in that book and in these books that we're going through, but we're not going into an in-depth study here. Once again, my goal is to help us to understand the bird's eye view, have a bird's eye view of the New Testament. Help us to think our way through and see what God has for us as his children. Well, in the book of Acts, we want to look there today, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and I believe that this is the key verse. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Well, some of the background of this book is this. The author is Luke, and this would be the companion of Paul. Remember, we studied about Luke, and we looked in the book of Luke, the book of Luke was also written by the physician. And when you look in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the first part of that says, "The former treatise And once again, this word is used, former treaties. The former treaties would be, of course, referring to the Gospel of Luke. Well, this is addressed to Theophilus as well. Well, the writing would have taken place, I believe, around 62 to 65 A.D., and the events that are covered here would be A.D. 29 through 65. Well, it's a period of time there, and the setting is this. Once again, we look at the book of Acts, and it's a continuation of the account given in Luke's gospel and was probably written during Paul's first imprisonment at Rome. Well, I've said this before in speaking, that Paul, the apostle, was mistreated throughout his life as an apostle. He was mistreated by those who hated Christ, but we also see that God supplied needs in his life as well. He even supplied his own physician to travel with him, and of course, that would be Luke. Luke accompanied Paul on many of his trips, and I would like to say that Paul needed a physician as many times as he was shipwrecked, beaten, and stoned, and everything else that happened to him. He needed a physician with him at all times. Well, what about the purpose of the book of Acts? I believe the aim is to show the spreading of the gospel throughout the world, beginning at Jerusalem. And this is according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Then the outline of the book would be something like this: the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You see, notice in Acts chapter 2 in verses 1 through 4 where it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." We see in this chapter and in this book of Acts, not only the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, but we see prophecy unfolding here. Now, if you'll read Acts chapter 2 and verses 14 through 20, where it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And Peter goes on, and he goes ahead to describe what was written in the Old Testament in the book of Joel, how that certain things would come to pass. Well, this he was telling the people present there on the day of Pentecost that this was something that was prophesied of way back in the book of Joel. Not only do we see the prophecy unfolding there, but you also see in the book of Acts the power of the Holy Spirit that was confirmed through the people. Then we look further in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 33, where it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Well, what does this prove? Well, it proves the power of the Holy Spirit. The power was confirmed through the people. They prayed and the place was shaken. God had sent down his Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has always been here, but the Holy Spirit's ministry changed at that point. He came upon the people. Now, you see, he comes upon us today. He comes within us to live within us, to dwell with us. And once again, that's to save people. And this is according to the Bible. And according to the Bible, we are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Well, notice prophecy unfolding in Acts chapter 2. Power of the Holy Spirit confirmed in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, and then we see the church established in Jerusalem. Well, there may be some people who do not believe that the church was actually established here. Well, I believe this was a confirmation of the church. I believe this was God's hand saying, "This is my church." And in the book of Matthew, he says, "I will build my church." So the church was not in existence at that time when Christ was walking up on the earth. The church came into existence, I believe, in its fullness. The called-out assembly who named Jesus a Savior is found in Acts chapter 2. That called-out is the church, is a called-out assembly. In Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47, and I'm going to read those verses in Acts chapter 4, and verses 10 through 13, where it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." And then, of course, he's speaking Jesus of here, the stone set at naught, "which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." And then once again, speaking of Jesus, "for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Speaking of Jesus. Verse 13 goes on to say, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Well, you can be with Jesus. You say, "Well, how can I do that? I don't see him physically." Well, you can be with Jesus by studying his word. And I say this over and over again. You study his word by getting into the book, by letting God speak to your heart. And as you study the word, you become more and more like our Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about you taking on the characteristics. You know, we're told that we are what we eat. And if you study the word of God, you become more and more like Christ each day of your life. One day, we're going to look up and he's going to say, "Come up hither," and we'll be with him forever. Well, that day may not come for some of us. We may be planted in the ground. We may go before the rapture of the church takes place, but either way, we're going to be caught up with him. We're going to be taken up with the Lord because he is our Lord and Savior. Well, persecutions came to the church as we studied the book of Acts and other scriptures. And the gospel was preached here in the book of Acts, and Peter preached to the Gentiles. Paul preached to the Gentiles. Paul carried the gospel to Rome. And we also see that the appearance of their resurrected Christ took place. Now, remember that the Jewish people were also hearing the gospel as it was preached. Well, the apostles saw Christ, and Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. Now, faith came to those people who saw him physically, and as well as to those people who did not see him physically, but believed upon the words of those people who had seen him physically. There are many other things we could point to in the book of Acts, but the main thing is that we need to understand that the Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The early church shared material possessions with each other. They were not always arguing and against each other. Believers were united, and believers went everywhere preaching the gospel, according to Acts chapter 5. And my question today is, do you know him as your Savior? Are you serving him today as your Savior? We need to get busy as Christ's church. We need to get busy and take the gospel to this world, to this lost and dying world. Share the gospel. Tell people how they too can know Jesus as Savior and go to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.